No topics are safe from comments from the Peanut Gallery, including the 2018 Reese's Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. I'm your host, Jordan Kurtz. Got a special guest on here tonight, the first one of the show. I'd like to welcome on John Feehan. John, say hello to the listeners out there.
Hello, listeners.
John, tell them a little bit about yourself and why this is an important topic to you.
Sure. I've been actually following Wyoming football for quite some time, and not just Wyoming football, but college football in general, as well as pro football. So I'm actually the guy that Jordan calls and texts when he needs information on things. So
everybody's a legend in their own mind.
And today, when you're listening to this, it's actually Feehan Friday. It's not football Friday. It's Feehan Friday. Remember that.
I'll refer to my previous statement on that. So we're going to start off by just giving you a little bit of a breakdown over what we're looking to see from this weekend's action at the Senior Bowl, what our thoughts and evaluations are over the past few days of practice, and just some general analysis across the board with what may be to come from there. John, what have you seen so far that's caught your eye?
So far I've actually watched some film on the offensive line and defensive line, and I had a couple different takeaways from that. I want to start with the guys that are going to be making money over the week, just over practice, let alone during the game. Okay. Two of the guys that I first want to touch on were actually teammates at NC State. One was Justin Jones and BJ Hill. Those guys with the North team for the Senior Bowl were absolutely dominant against the offensive line. So they won every battle.
Jump right away.
Yeah, they popped off film immediately. So those guys made a lot of money just based on that. We're agreeing on the next guy I'm about to talk about, if you want to tell him.
So the big guy, if we're gonna really go after the defensive line that has stood out to me and I think is going to be the steal of the draft for anybody, or I shouldn't say steal because he's not really a sleeper at this point. He would be the anchor for the defensive line for any team that takes him. It's Harrison Phillips out of Stanford. Harrison Phillips is an absolute beast.
Beast.
One thing that I've always thought is a strong correlation for athletes in the trenches is if these guys have had some wrestling experience in their background, Harrison Phillips just happens to be one bad SOB on the mats. Harrison Phillips was a 3-time state champion. He's a 4-time national state champion. In his wrestling career, he's only lost about 7 matches from the time when he was about 13 years old on. He says that he attributes a lot of his success on the defensive line to his background in wrestling because he correlates his hip flexibility, his hand speed, and his anticipation to what his opponent's going to do to his wrestling background. Why do I think this is important to the NFL? He's a gap guy. He has a high motor, so it's going to be fun to follow his progress and see what kind of system that he may end up in because he's smart enough to figure out pretty much any sort of system that he could possibly go to.
Yeah, I think he's actually best fit in a 4-3. Or he could be a 3-4 D end. I think he is athletic enough, as you were saying, to his wrestling background. Some of the things that actually stood out to me on film, because when you watch him, through the Senior Bowl, when you watch him in the practices, actually, he kept going to a more of a bull rush instead of any other move, which when you look at him in film, that's often what he uses. The guy just produced in college, though. He had 98 tackles last season. 98 from the inside with 17 tackles for loss. Like, that's crazy. But one of the things I think he'll eventually get better at is really putting more of a rip move in there and using a little more finesse because I think he is athletic enough to do that. But at times when he was one-on-one, he would revert back to the bull rush, which he was successful, but not every time. You know, sometimes the guard would anchor his hips and dig in. So
I could totally see what you're saying there with that, but couldn't you also, you know, for if you're a prospective team looking at him, couldn't you counter that he has such a ridiculously athletic base that you can teach him away from some of those bad habits? You can't teach some of the raw athleticism and instincts that he has. You can't teach some of those high motor skills of him getting off the ball and just completely beating his man play in and play out. Some of those things that are intangibles, that's what, you know, you take the good with the bad and you coach him up based off of what his strengths are.
Yeah, but I think there's a certain point where you can't rely completely on athleticism. And that's actually I'll get to that on our next guy we're about to talk about, and the reason why you can't only rely on athleticism. For him, I think, though, that it's more of the knowledge piece. Like, he is very coachable, and he'll take that knowledge and put it on the field, and you'll see that on film. I think he's going to be one of the best rookies next year. When you look at his Pro Football Focus, I believe, actually had him as the top run stuffer. So, just as like a, an aside, I think that was something to, focus on, because like a lot of those, he's just blowing up plays on film.
Yep. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, I couldn't be in any more of an agreement with you on that. He's the guy who, to me, more than anybody on the defensive side of the ball, has stood out. You know, that is the guy for me on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, hopefully, like I say, hopefully some of those things he can be coached up on, and he gets into the right system, gets the right sort of leadership that drives him to be that elite level defensive tackle that he could be in the NFL.
Absolutely. I think we're in agreement on that. But in a nice little segue to our next guy, the guy that you were just actually saying that you can't teach athleticism. While that may be true, you also, if you're at the Senior Bowl at this point in time, if you do not have those moves and you don't know what you're doing, you look lost, it's going to show. And with this next guy, a lot of people have had him mock drafts. I think Mayock had him in the top 10. And I'm referring to Marcus Davenport out of UTSA.
Okay.
Super athlete. You look at him. He started there. He's 6'7", came in at 255. I think he actually weighed in closer to 270, though.
Okay.
Which is good. You see, want to see that he's like putting on muscle and things like that. That's just goes back to athleticism.
Sure, good weight though, yeah, too, at the same correct. Time, right?
No, still. I mean, dude looks like an action figure, and there's no way around it, like G.I. Joe style. But when you looked at him on one-on-ones, he looked lost. He did not look like he belonged, and that's concerning for a team. If they're taking him, in my opinion, right now, maybe a second round pick, and that's maybe, and that's. You look at him on film, and his level of competition just isn't there. He played Baylor, had really nice film against Baylor, but Baylor was not a good squad this year. There's nobody right. pro on the offensive line that's going pro from Baylor's tackles. And another thing I've noticed is...
Anybody who had anything at Baylor has jumped off of that sinking ship long ago.
Well, and I don't want to sound like I'm just hating on him, because I do think he could be a very good player in this league, but he has the initial get-off ball... But once he actually engages, he's so used to being the man, and he's always going against right tackles. That's another concern of mine. He's always going against right tackles on film. You never see him go against the left side, which is typically the better athlete on the offensive line, is the left tackle. So when you see a guy that's an out-athlete you every single time against right tackles at a lower level, it's concerning because he just goes off pure athleticism on film. I think he could be a guy that could be coached. But I'm not taking a top 10 pick like I'm seeing people, let alone a top 30 pick. So that's a guy that has lost money from showing up at this.
I think you're right. Yeah. You know, I think that you're 100% hitting the nail on the head with him there. And you know that's where it's a double-edged sword with some of these guys that you know come to these Senior Bowl opportunities or just have played in bowl games in general these last couple of years. It's the question of potential injury and things of that nature sitting out. If we take a look at, you know, one of the best guys that might, you know, that might not even be at this game this weekend, you know, the big name of the weekend that's not there is Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State.
Sure.
Oklahoma State, he had a pretty solid campaign there for Coach Gundy. But he's allegedly out with a foot injury. There's a lot of questions behind that, you know, to how legitimate it is. But nonetheless, with the concern that some of these players have had, there's been a couple of guys get nicked up in even, you know, a non-contact style practice this week. There's valid concern.
Do you think he wanted to compete? Like, in all honesty, I know it's hard to question competition, but do you think he really wanted that did Mason Rudolph really want to take part in the Josh Allen Baker Mayfield circus that this week has been?
That's a great question, you know, because he'd have been stacked up side by side against those two guys 100% the entire time while they were taking snaps. They'd have all been on the same squad. They'd have been right there, you know, with Duke John Elway staring right down at him. Who knows?
They might have flipped him, though. They might have flipped him to the South, because I know that the Oklahoma State receivers were on the South, but honestly don't know if John Elway would have tried to pull that card and say, hey, I want all three of these guys on my squad. Forget what the South thinks. They lost the war, you know. Now they're losing at the Senior Bowl. Like, come on, man.
Based off of the share of talent in general between the two different teams, it would not surprise me at all to have seen Mason Rudolph be on, sure, to have been on that side, simply because of the reason that the Broncos are 100% in the position of evaluating potential quarterback prospects, and that's something that we'll touch on a little bit later.
Sure.
But like I say, I think that it's just worth noting that there is that big name who normally would have been there in participation, but is not there this weekend. Sure. Is there anybody else that you think is a notable name that should be there this weekend that's not? We'll get to a little bit later on the guys that aren't there, that aren't eligible, but sure, maybe a senior that isn't participating this weekend that you would have liked to have seen what he was going to bring to the table.
I mean, I think Mason Rudolph was probably the one I wanted to see, because he's in that question mark of the fifth best quarterback in this class. And that's a interesting spot to be, because you could still go in the first round as the fifth. In this class, there's going to be four guys that are taken potentially in the top eight. I expect some trade-ups. And so to be that fifth guy to prove that you're the guy, it's crazy to me that he's not there. In terms of other guys that actually one big name that popped off that I was surprised declined, Courtland Sutton from SMU. He took a hard pass because he was eligible.
Right.
And he took a hard pass. Now you look at his film, he pops off. I would have liked to have seen him against... He looked at the South team DBs, which are far and away the best part of the South team. The South team DBs are by and far the best part of that team. He looked at who was coming and took a hard pass, which is smart. And a lot of these times, it's not the prospects that are doing that, it's their agents. A lot of agencies won't even let them play. You look at a lot of linebackers pull out. Why does a linebacker need to be in the Senior Bowl? Well, could help. Most times, you are what you are if you're a middle linebacker. So
it's true. You know, you don't want to pull a Jalen Smith, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, that's where some guys are at as far as their mindset goes. Yeah. And you know, there is an increasing, you know, suggestion level from agents according to a lot of the rumor mills out there that they're not wanting guys to participate in some of these extra activities just for the potential chance that it may plummet some draft stock. But there's also, Nick Saban once said that he thinks that there's something to be said about playing well in every opportunity that you have. And I also, I would agree with that at the same time.
Sure.
That, you know, that there is something to be said about having an anywhere, anytime, any place type of mentality and being able to go out there, show out, and perform. You know, there's a difference of being able to go out there and perform well versus being able to go out there and, play scared and restricted because you're trying to think too much.
Sure.
Now, if we could transition a little bit from the defensive side of the football, obviously we've touched on this a little bit so far. Let's get into the big debate of the weekend that everybody wants to know about or hear some of the analysis on.
Here we go.
Josh Allen against Baker Mayfield. First off, let's hear your take, guy. Let's hear your take, albeit very biased, on Josh Allen.
You want to hear it on Josh Allen first or Baker? I could give either one. Right now, dude, Josh Allen is just a stud. And everybody, the thing about Josh Allen is people, there's no in-between. People are either there to defend him or they're trying to murder him on Twitter, which is a whole different conversation I could have. You look at his stats in college, the only thing people can pull up in college is completion percentage. That's all I'm hearing. He finished with a 56.9 completion percentage. Can you tell me the last pick? Can you tell me the last number one pick that finished sub 60%? Just off the top of your head, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just referencing. And if anybody at home listening to this, if they can tell me who that is, I'll be impressed. In the last 15 years, the last number one pick, sub 60%. Because that's modern football, so that's a fair question.
Fair question. I don't have the answer off the top.
Matthew Stafford.
Okay. Number one draft pick. He
turned out okay.
Turned out okay.
But that's just one argument I could make. Matthew I can go into Stafford several things. Matthew Stafford also did that
at Georgia, though, not against Wyoming, who is, you know, in the great pillow fight of the Mountain West of defenses.
But you could also flip it on its head, and I could tell you Matthew Stafford had more weapons, especially his last year. I could tell you he had more weapons. And he also played in a pro-style system. And he did not play in a spread offense. Like you see, Johnny Manziel had a 68% coming out of college. 68.9% completion percentage. What? You're going to tell how was that guy a bust? Weird. Spread offenses have a lot of short, easy completion passes. And that's the reason why I don't take completion percentage seriously. Now, when you're posed as a number one pick, you're going to have people poking holes.
So let's put the brakes on that for a second. Completion percentage doesn't matter. So accuracy doesn't matter?
But that's two different things. If I'm in a spread system, I'm going to be taking a lot more shots with high completion throws, short routes.
Okay.
If you're in a pro-style system, in order to be successful, unless you're West Coast, like a complete West Coast system that has a running game, so you can do more play action throws, even those short passes. My biggest thing is, you saw his junior film versus his senior film. What happened? Well, Brian Hill, he's on the Bengals. Running back. All-time school leading rusher. Gone. Left his junior year early. Probably didn't get drafted as high as he wanted to. He's gone. His top receiver, Tanner Gentry, graduated, senior, gone. Tight end, another top target. He's playing in two Sundays for the Patriots and catching balls from Tom Brady. Also a productive player. Chase Roullier. There was a report that came out today where Bleacher Report actually posted a column ranking the top centers. And as a rookie, he finished 19th overall. So, I'm just giving opinions here. I'm just speaking a couple facts, but I'm also giving reasons why you saw a decline. If you turn on his senior film, dude, his receivers were dropping passes. He lost his starting center, the true freshman that started at center, and a true freshman that started at right tackle. Albeit, that was the best option we had at the time, and that's going to be an option all the time with Wyoming. We're going to be able to attract these guys that do want to play right away on top of the guys that are going to develop and sit for 3 years. Okay, but when you look at it, the difference was, and I think Kuiper touched on it well too, his receivers, there was a period of time where his receivers were not catching the ball. You saw it in the opening game against Iowa that everybody wants to kill him for. He had a beautiful, I think, 48-yard pass for a touchdown. His receiver dropped it, C.J. Johnson. And I love C.J. Johnson. I think he's going to be a good receiver. He tore his ACL in the bowl game, but you got to catch that ball. He put it on the money. Anybody that watches the film, you're going to tell me the same thing. But the critique that people want to bring in saying he's inaccurate, I think, is blown out of proportion. If you really look at the film, I think it needs to be more consistent. But with even the drops and the lack of run game, you can take that in consideration, and I can deal with that. If I'm a GM taking a guy, I'm going to deal with that. And I don't want to go on a tangent, but if I'm Cleveland, I'm taking Josh Allen, number one overall. And that's for a different podcast. I'm taking him over the California kids.
See, and I have issue with Josh Allen at that spot simply because I don't think that I think that he is a guy who can have success in the NFL, but I do not think that he is the top pick. I find a lot of issue in seeing some of the misplaced throws that he's had, especially this week at practice. He sailed a lot of throws. He sailed some high percentage easy throws that you were talking about, almost system type throws.
You know who's really good at throwing against wide open receivers? You know who's really good at because that's an adjustment thing. He's improved day to day. For those who have watched some of the Senior Bowl highlights and lowlights, seen the throws, it's on YouTube. You can check them out. You see him get better as the week goes on.
Does one of the lowlights qualify chemistry as him missing the net from 10 feet away?
Yes, and it's actually been told from multiple reports that he wasn't the only one that's missed the net. That just happened to be... That's the only thing people want to bring up. They don't want to show the pass to Michael Gallup, 40-yard dime in front of... Really and truly,
if we want to get down to brass tacks...
Dan Marino, John Elway,
nobody else besides Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield at the quarterback position matter in terms of that top-tier quarterback evaluation at this weekend's.
But I think we need a little background here. I was the first person to tell you that Josh Allen will be playing on Sundays. And at the time, he thought I was just pumping that brown and gold sunshine. But I will say, I was right. He's going to be drafted. He will be playing on Sundays. I just want that as a background because there's a bias between us right now. Jordan's a big CSU fan. I actually really like one of his players this year in the draft. I would love for him to be on my Bears. And we can get into that today or tomorrow or whenever the next time we're going to do one. However, I'm just pointing that out. There is a border between us, and there's a war between it as well. For the border war, that is our school's rivalries. And yeah. Josh Allen happened to have been undefeated in said rivalry. So there's some hurt feelings.
Wyoming sucks.
I want that as a background. I just want it as a disclaimer. And like he said on the Denver radio show, it will always suck to be a CSU Ram. Did you hear that? He said that on a Denver radio show, talking to the Denver Broncos like beat writer.
And that just adds to my list of why he can kiss my ass and why the Broncos shouldn't take him.
However, he did say he would love to play for Broncos. Who
wouldn't want to play from this standpoint that overall, if you're a guy who is looking at the long-term macro perspective view as a quarterback, why would you not want to come to a place like the Denver Broncos, who have a historic level of success in that sense?
We're going to take a timeout on that because that's going to be a conversation for the Broncos part of our show. I want to get to the guy that's really good at throwing to the net, and when there's no defenders around his guys, and that's Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Look, one of my favorite coaches in college football is Lincoln from Oklahoma. And one of those reasons, he is an absolute magician. He went from taking Baker Mayfield to a potential fourth-round pick to all of a sudden a first-round talent. What happened in the year that he's been there? Well, I can tell you this. Looking at film from Baker's senior season, I keep getting this impression from these pro Baker fans. And look, I don't dislike Baker. I'm just not willing to take a top-10 pick on him. Okay? I just want to be forthright and say that. I think it'd be a great fit for some teams, like Washington. I don't know if I'm taking him at Miami at 11. Might be a little bit of a... Jarvis Landry's enough if they re-sign him. That's going to be a little bit of too much moxie, as some might say, in the locker room. But back to my point. Lincoln Riley, great job. You were fantastic this year. You made it, like I said, a magician. When you look, turn on the film, people want to say that, oh, Baker is so good at looking off the safety. I like his eyes. I think he does have good head movement to look them off. However, I will counter with a lot of the plays that he had, highlights and lowlights, I guess you could say, were plays that were designed to one side of the field that he was never throwing to the right-hand side of the field. That's just how it was set up in the system. You look at the film, it's almost like there's a distraction on the right side, and stuff that like Andy Reid does too when he's calling plays. You see it in the league. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying when you're looking at overall perspective, he has plays where he'll look at the right-hand side of the field knowing that he's not even throwing on that side just to pull the safety over. That's not even – there's no reads to throw to on that side. There's nobody. They're not looking for the ball. They're distractions, right? And then he'll look, and six times out of ten, the guy he's throwing to has not one but two steps on the defender. We're talking these guys, elite recruits going to Oklahoma. Elite recruits. They're getting separation. They play in the Big 12. There's some questionable defenses in the Big 12. And a lot of his touchdown passes, wide open receivers. He's great at throwing to wide open receivers, even on first days. I'll give him credit. He did look good throwing on skeleton. Like, nobody's actually on. Like, he looked good on one-on-ones. He looked a little questionable on day three practice with the goal line. A lot of check downs, safe throws, didn't want to squeeze it in. That's fine. But I'm just not willing to take a top 10 pick on him, man. I would be more comfortable taking him in the 20s to 30s. I question, I know I'm kind of going long here, but I question why there's reports saying that he's not going to play in the Senior Bowl, and I could be completely inaccurate.
You know, there has been a little bit of Friday, a rumor mill to that, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, he came right off of right off the plane pretty much to practice earlier this week, citing that family comes first. So, you know, I personally don't know exactly what's going on in his personal life to know what may be drawing him away from practice or from some of these team activities. So who knows, you know, maybe there's more to it underneath the surface that we just don't know right now. It'll be interesting to see on that side of things. Sure. But one thing that I can maybe add to it for Baker Mayfield has a lot of heart. The kid has a lot of competitive aggression within him that, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, I feel like you just can't being a Broncos fan, I don't want to take him with that number 5 pick, but I would love to have somebody that has that sort of grit and tenacity that he brings. You know, I'll just kind of take it to the game against Kansas when those guys didn't want to shake his hand at the coin toss. I'd tell you to suck my dick too right after I got done dropping dimes on you all day if you didn't want to respect me when game time.
Guess who's leaving on a stretcher if he does that against Baltimore or the Pittsburgh? Guess who's leaving on a stretcher if he does that to Denver?
And I understand.
Can you imagine if he did that?
There's a difference between maturity. We're talking about
a weakness right there.
Hey, you're correct right there. And that's the difference, though, between college ball and the NFL. Hey, maturity, that's definitely a question for him. You know, he's been fighting the Manziel questions the entire week, and that's definitely something that is, you know, going to be a topic to continue to track because he has a lot of those tendencies. So the big question that Baker Mayfield has to continue to answer is, what makes you not Johnny? And how can you separate yourself from him? That'll be interesting to see. How can you channel that competitive aggression into something more positive by keeping your composure and holding your mud as a quarterback? Maybe it's just me, and I'm just a little bit more biased and a fiery guy that I like seeing some antics like that. Granted, I understand that there's not a place for that for a quarterback in the NFL. But in college, it's a little bit more rah-rah all across the board. Why not every now and then? You know, he had to suffer the consequences for it. He didn't get to stand on the field and get honored on senior day. You know, he paid his price.
You know where I think Baker Mayfield's top fit would be?
Where's that?
Did you hear the news today?
I did not.
Vince McMahon. It's back, XFL. Baby. We're coming back, baby. God. He hate me.
That's an entire throwback show right there.
I'm being satirical right now, but he would be fantastic. I would him versus Johnny Manziel. I would watch that. I would absolutely watch that.
Hey, you might 100%. Put some cheeks in seats with that sort of matchup. Like those guys just talk trash to each other, mic them up from side to side, and let them just go at it the entire game.
I would watch Thursday Night Football. If that was actually the case, I would watch Thursday Night Football.
might get people
to watch Thursday Night Football if it's the XFL. NFL needs to stop, but that's another conversation. Yep,
exactly. You know, so for me, a lot of what this week is, just because I'm biased, I'm a Broncos fan to the core, and I want to know what's next to bring us back to a championship level team. And so that's what a large part of what my evaluation has been on when I've been looking at guys and have been thinking about potential fits and landing spots and scenarios and how what may come up in these next couple of weeks or in the next few weeks following a free agency, what may open up. Broncos have a lot of money that they have the capability of spending in free agency. So what I think...
How much cap room do they have before they make the decision on to leave?
I was just curious, I can't remember right off the top of my head. Yeah, I can't remember that number right directly off the top of my head. But in general, I believe as far as freed up space, yeah, or you know, as far as debt, they're 31.
Okay.
That's what I believe that I saw. So, you know, they've got a lot of room to work. And the thing is depending on how they approach the Demaryius Thomas situation, if they pay him by that spring date, they're on the books for a lot more money. But there's been a lot of talk that they're negotiating a potential restructuring of the deal.
I'm making
scissor
hands.
Hopefully bringing him back to the Mile High City. I don't want to see DT
scissor
leave
hands right now.
I understand that there's a lot of shade that gets thrown DT's way, but I personally like DT. I had the opportunity to meet him in person a few years ago. You couldn't meet a nicer guy.
Is that when he ate meat?
I don't
that was the big discussion today. Didn't you hear about that? That was the big people were tweeting saying apparently the Broncos, and I'm just throwing this out here, there were tweets from verified accounts saying that apparently some people within the Broncos organization do not think he's the same player since he switched to the popular NBA diet, and that's vegan. So he does have a lot of friends in the NBA. I get why he went with it, but let's move on.
That, you know, there may be something to that, but you know that's something that may get us in a lot of trouble with the vegan viewers that are out there. What I think could be a big situation or something that the Broncos can pull off is there just so happens to be a very high profile left tackle out there who just so happens to have a game left to play, who's been publicly vocal about returning home to Colorado. I think that
Nathan,
you make a big play for one Nate Solder. Bring him to the Mile High City. Make the splash in free agency. Go after a quarterback in free agency. You have the money to spend. You have the resources to use. Make those plays right there. And that opens you up at the fifth spot to take who I think is as solid of a lock of anybody in the draft that you could possibly get.
We both agree on this.
Now, at this pick that the Broncos have at number 5, yes, this may seem like it's a high pick for the position that I'm about to mention.
No way. I'm 100% with you.
But I think that if you can have a decade plus of consistent Pro Bowl and higher level production, it is 100% worth taking a guard at number 5, and I'm looking to the guy from Notre Dame. From South Bend. I'm looking at Quentin Nelson. I'm going for the Golden Domer right there.
God.
I think that there is no more of a solid pick in this entire draft, ladies and gentlemen. Him at number 5 is what I dream for the Broncos to do. If you pick him at 5... after you bring in Solder in free agency, you put him at the left tackle where he is a bona fide star. You move Bowles over to the right side. Hopefully that will benefit him making that transition. You have Leary at guard, and you also have Paradis. You have definitely shored up your offensive line, and you have filled in some major questions and holes that have been looming over you. I don't care who you have at quarterback. If you're the Denver Broncos, you can take any of these top draft picks for these guys. If you don't have the offensive line to protect them, you're in trouble.
We've disagreed on a lot of things since I've known you. This might be the 100% in agreement I think we've ever been. I've watched a lot of his film. He is fantastic to watch. I implore everybody to turn on his film. It's worth the watch. And you can't even say that. You can't even say that about offensive linemen. You never say about offensive linemen. This guy's nasty. There's a play where he throws down at LSU. I think it was Arden Key, potential first-round pick. He threw him down like a child about to get spanked. Threw him to
complete
the ground.
Ragdoll effort.
Ragdolled him. And
that's what I like
man.
To call a ragdoll. That's what
and
we
then
hear
just,
at the peanut gallery
he
like
sits
call
on
a ragdoll effort.
Sits on him. Insult to injury. There's another play where he's going against Boston College where he, another potential first round pick, Harold from Boston College, right? He helped out his left tackle who could be a potential first round early second round guy. Okay. He absolutely, the guy was already being blocked. Harold was already being blocked. He came over and de-cleated him. And then after that, he kept him on the ground. He tried to get up. Play was already over. Nasty. I want a guy that's going to be a Cody Whitehair, a guy you're going to trust for 10 years in this league, right? But mean. But just mean. The dude is just mean. He's seeing defenders. There's a play where a Miami player is trying to get a push on him. And have you ever tried moving a fridge by yourself? You know kind of how you, like, you're trying to tilt it back. Okay. You're trying to push it. And your neck kind of pops up. That's what defenders look like. Exactly. When they're trying to push Quentin Nelson.
And, you know, I like that comparison, but the comparison that, you know, that's really kind of stuck out in my mind, and it's been the widespread comparison amongst most of the scouts and the contributors that have been down at the Senior Bowl, along with people evaluating throughout this season, and that comparison is to Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins has been a flat-out stud, was a stud through the prime of his entire career, you know, won multiple Super Bowls with the Patriots. If you are anywhere even in the ballpark of what Logan Mankins brought to the table, you're one hell of a football player. And whoever takes this young man cannot miss. I hope that the guy that once looked great in blue and gold comes to the blue and orange and does the exact same.
If you do this, though, you have to sign a free agent quarterback. There's no way around it. You cannot have a second round quarterback as your starter, and you can't stick with the guys you have.
You have to 100%. Sign
a free agent. You cannot make this move without signing a top free agent quarterback. And the last time I checked, there might only be one.
No, and you know, you're right. And Captain getting Kirk. getting into Broncos free agency, that's an entire topic that we can go on for.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, as an aside. If I'm the Broncos as a person that has lived in Colorado, who does follow the Broncos but is not a Broncos fan, I have come outside of perspective in that regard, but I am a fan of a guy I'm going to say that looked real good in the Orange Crush, baby, and that'd be Josh Allen. I'm just going to touch back on it and dance back around to that. I think Josh Allen would be great for you guys because a lot of his plays, he did not have great offensive line play in college, and one of the things I think would benefit give Elway time is if, I know a lot of people are saying they don't want him to play right away. And you know what? You could sign a free agent quarterback, not named Kirk Cousins, and still draft him in the top five. But what I'm saying is, he could go Mitch Trubisky, he could go to Sean Watson, where you take a couple of games, the guy ahead of him doesn't perform, and it's done, right? Free agent, bust, right? The Mike Glennon, right? All right, then you put him in there. He's going to win you games. He will win you games, I promise you that. Does he get you back to the playoffs? Depends who he's throwing to.
But it depends what you do with everybody else. Side but of things that
he makes plays on the run.
Justify taking him with a number five pick. I cannot in... I will...
You're going to sing a different tune. You will sing a different tune.
I can't take him with a number five.
Bold prediction from me. You're going to sing a different tune. After Saturday, I will be texting you.
Yeah, I just can't see it, you know, unless there's something that is absolutely groundbreaking and, you know, a complete revelation of a performance in my eyes. I'm not sold on Josh Allen being the top pick in that spot. And for that matter, I'm not sold on any of the quarterbacks in this draft class being something that the Broncos should take at number five. I'm not sold on any of these guys being a person that could take this spot. Nobody, I think, can. I don't think that Rosen can. I don't think that Darnold can. I don't think that Jackson can. I don't think that any of these guys is a good fit at five.
You didn't list Baker's name. What happened?
I don't think that Baker Mayfield is a good fit at five.
There we go.
I think that Baker Mayfield, if the Broncos do take a quarterback at five, Baker Mayfield is the guy to take. However, let me go on record stating that I do not think that that is the pick that the Denver Broncos should make with the number five pick. My pick and my decision 100% goes to Quentin Nelson of Notre Dame. And if Quentin Nelson of Notre Dame is not the guy, I look to another Golden Domer and I look to Mr. McGlinchey.
Mike McGlinchey, yep.
Mike McGlinchey is a guy who would be a great anchor to the offensive line to give you some bookend action as well. I think that the move has to be to shore up the offensive line. I touched on it earlier. I'll hit on it again. You could have John Elway in his prime. Dan Marino's been down there on the field along with the other execs evaluating talent this week.
You know who they're watching.
If you had one of those guys in their prime, you're still not going to be in the position to be a championship-level football team with the offensive line that you had on the field last year. There is no chance in the world that you are at an elite level.
A lot of Denver fans are going to disagree. They're going to agree with the fact that you should fix the line, 100%. There's ways in free agency to fix the line. Spend the money right. Cut ties with the players that no longer are in their primes. They're in the twilight of their careers, okay? Their best days are behind them, okay? There's a couple. Because of the situation you have on the offensive line, you need to fix it. You need to address it at least. Not saying I'm going to go ahead and tell you how to fix your squad, okay? Denver fans, listen to me, because I have more knowledge than you really think. I'm not just a Josh Allen fanboy. I follow the draft. You guys really need to take, if he's there in the second round, you need to take Josh Allen in the first round. Pray that he's Josh Allen's there at 5. I really think that if Cleveland, I think that John Elway's got a man crush on Josh Allen. I think he's playing his cards to his chest. Hold on. He's playing his cards to his chest. I think he has a big man crush on Josh Allen. So I think that he's going to do, by whatever means necessary, whether that's going to 2, whether that's going with Indy with 3, he's going to jump Cleveland at 4. If it's not for Josh Allen, I'll be surprised. I'll shave my head. Hold on. But second round, you guys absolutely need to take this guy. One of two guys. Because they're almost one. They're behind Quentin Nelson. They're 2A and 2B behind him. And that's going to be, he played tackle at Georgia. Okay. Isaiah Wynn. Holy cow. That guy is lighting up the Senior Bowl. You're going to see it on film. You're going to see it when you watch his practice. Insane punch. He played tackle inside. He's a monster. Absolute monster. He's the value that you need to be taking. And the Broncos are watching him too. He's on the North, or he's on the South squad. You know they're watching him. Another guy on the South squad that you know their scouts are going to be watching, Will Hernandez from UTEP. Monster. Monster. That was two of my guys that made a lot of money coming to the Senior Bowl. That's how you need to do. You need to take quarterback at 1, whether you think it's Baker, I think it's Josh, 100%. One of those guys at 2, you absolutely need to take. But the downside I'm not addressing here is if you're trading up to 2 or 3, are you giving up your 2? Or are you going to give up next year's 1 and your 3rd from this year? And I say you can't give up the 2. You have to give up next future first rounders before you give up this year's 2, because one of those guys is going to be in play. Mark my words, if they make it out of the first round, Denver's going to do what they can to get one of those guys.
See, and that's where, like, in my perfect world, I disagree. The Broncos pass on taking a quarterback with 5. They take the offensive guard. Then they, in a later round, go with a guy like a Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. That would be ideal in my mind. You bring in somebody that's a free agent from a different source. Who knows what that shakes
up? You're going to bring in Case Keenum, because that's only the money you're going to have going after Nate Solder. You're not going to have Kirk Cousins money unless you cut Tlaib and Demaryius. Those guys aren't going to restructure for money. They know they know they're in the ends of their career. They're trying to get one more payday, man. I'm just saying, you're not going to have money signing left tackle Nate Solder. You're not going to have the money. You're going to have Case Keenum money laying around. You're going to have Sam Bradford money laying around. You're not getting Eli, because the guy that got hired for the GM in New York is loyal to Eli. Eli won him 2 rings. So,
yep. He came back. And you're not wrong there. So there's a lot of stuff that has to shuffle itself around.
Yeah.
Once free agency hits, once we get to the certain timelines within pay schedule, there's a lot that's yet to be seen as it comes to, you know, to the actual NFL side of it all as it is. But let's kind of reel it back to this weekend with the Senior Bowl and with some guys that are there down there in Mobile, Alabama. One guy that I'd like to at least point out that I think could be a potential find, and, you know, I don't want to maybe call it steal, but at time aerial may be a steal.
Okay.
Callum Ballage from Arizona State.
Yes.
He played high school football here in Colorado. I watched him play as a high school football player, yes. And he was a man among boys.
So fast.
You know, he is 6'3", 245 pounds. He is an absolute bruiser in the backfield. He took on some of the more unheralded assignments this week in practice, like taking on linebackers in blocking roles with pass protection,
yep.
And he flat out shined. I do think that there is something to be said about his lack of time on the field and, you know, because of that lack of production.
Sure.
At Arizona State. Obviously, there wasn't the greatest relationship with the coaching staff just based off of, you know, what I read in between the lines from his interviews about the situation there.
Sure.
I think that he could be a potential steal. You know, I think that also another guy that he obviously didn't play his college ball in Colorado,
sure.
But is a Colorado kid. Another guy that I want to talk about that you had mentioned previously, within the show is a CSU Ram, Michael Gallup.
Yeah.
I think that Michael Gallup can have some sustained success in the NFL, but I think that Michael Gallup also, based off of his responses to questions at practice this week, has some growing up to do and has to figure out what it is to be a professional at the NFL level. And that's where I still at times have to give a little bit of I don't want to say knock, shade. But at times
got to throw some shade on him. This was
a little bit of Mountain West shade at times that, you know, you can get by with certain things that you make that you can't get by at the highest level. You have to get into a study book, or into your playbook and study. You have to do that at this level. And he self-admittedly stated that he has had issue at times playing with fluidity and being able to just be himself as an athlete because he's been thinking so much because he wasn't comfortable with the playbook. How you're uncomfortable with the playbook in a situation like this, yes, I get it that it's on a short turnaround with the installs with certain packages and whatnot, but at the same time, overall, as a receiver on that side of things, to me, there's right now at this point, there's not a whole lot of excuse for you to be self-admittedly lackadaisical.
You know who else had a problem with the playbook in the pros? Cordarrelle Patterson. Didn't work out for him. Laquan Treadwell, allegedly. Didn't work out for him. I'm with you 100%. I think he has a chance. He had a chance before saying some of the excuses he was putting out because he's looked good.
Incredible looked good athlete.
On drills. He's looked, he caught a 40-yard dime.
You know, I will give Josh the Allen credit to Josh Allen. Josh Allen threw an absolute beauty of a pass that looked all the parts of what an NFL quarterback does.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like we said, there's some question marks around him that he brought upon himself this week, which is, it's a red flag to me, and I'm a CSU fan, which is upsetting to me.
Yep.
You know, you control your own destiny as an athlete at these functions by what you say and how you present yourself to your potential employers.
It's a job interview.
It is. It's a giant job interview, and he definitely did everything that he could to bomb with some of the answers that he had.
Oh, 100%.
Which is unfortunate.
He'll get coached up. I think he'll have better answers at the combine. He did get invited. I think on the 17th it came out that he was invited to the combine, so that's good. Man, he was a guy that I am looking forward to watching in the game to see if he produces. But after those comments, he's kind of on the neutral side for me because he didn't really make himself money. I think he almost downgraded his draft stock, though, because you might have lost some money just for that comment, because you can't come out and say, I'm having trouble learning these plays.
Agreed, 100%.
Because these plays that they're installing, they're vanilla. They're not going to be super complex plays. They're not, hey, I see this coverage, I know it's this route. Hey, I see that coverage, I know it, I'm going to check.
I got news for you, buddy. It's not getting any easier. Whatever you need to do to improve yourself on that front, figure it out. You have a large level of potential.
Yep.
But if you can't figure it out in between the ears, that will be your downfall. I hope that you have the success that I see you having. I hope that you can continue and parlay the success that you had this year at CSU as, you know, as a national award finalist to the NFL. I hope that we see that. Time will tell.
Yep.
One last little bit that I just want to touch on, and you know, there might be somebody that you have in mind. A special story for me this weekend at the Senior Bowl, and we'll keep this brief and then wrap up here quick. Shaquem Griffin from UCF is a great story to me.
Yep.
He's shown a lot of scouts, you know, just to give you back up and give you some background on it. He's the one-handed player out of Central Florida, and he's played all week this week like he's had both. You know, he's pretty much made it like he has zero handicap in these NFL scouts' eyes. You know, he may not be some guy who is immediately off the board or anything to that effect, but I love the story. I love to see this kid out here competing. He's talked about his entire life. He's faced this adversity and how, you know, he's laughed in people's faces after with only having one hand. He's pulled in interceptions. So I like the story of seeing this kid.
His twin brother's playing for the Seahawks.
You're right.
And that says something. I mean, his twin. The only downside of this is I don't know what position he plays. I like Shaquem Griffin a lot as well. I just don't know what position he's going to play. He was everywhere. When you look at the bowl game against Auburn, he was absolutely everywhere on film.
Yeah, he played palpable. In all three levels.
Sure. But right now, I like that the coaches on the South team are giving him a shot. They're putting him outside, middle, safety, not corner, but they're putting him at safety, outside, and middle linebackers. So they're moving around. They're trying to show that, hey, can he be the next in-the-box linebacker safety type? Time will tell. I hope that the NFL doesn't blackball him because he's not invited to the combine. I think that sucks.
You know, yeah, that does. You know, I wish that we would be able to see him in action at the combine. I see him as a smaller linebacker set type of guy to you know, maybe a bigger safety type. Sure. You know, call him maybe more of a you know, think along the lines of maybe not exactly to that effect, but like a Jabril Peppers hybrid type of guy that you can play him at different levels and use him within different roles. I don't think at all that you would ever see him in an NFL situation where he's on the defensive line like you saw, you know, him at the collegiate level, especially in the bowl game. Nope. There is zero chance that you see him there.
Nope.
But I do think that the kid he's extremely athletic and he has, you know, he has a high motor, and the kid has. Just he has a drive in him that it's one of those.
You want to root for things. Him. You want to root for him.
You know, like I say, I can't really put a finger on exactly what it is, but seeing, you know, what he's been up against and seeing the way that he's been able to perform, it's encouraging to me.
Yeah.
I do just want to say thank you, John, for coming and joining us tonight on this Comments from the Peanut Gallery podcast. No topics are safe from Comments from the Peanut Gallery, including the 2018 Senior Rhesus Bowl. You know, is there any last words, thoughts that you'd like to add on the weekend?
I can't wait to text you on Saturday after the Senior Bowl, man. I just can't wait. I'm going to be back here. I'm going to try to be humble. And I may be humbled because it's going on record. Okay. I just think we're going to see some performances. I got a couple of guys I just want to say real quick. Offensive player of the game is going to be Josh Allen. Defense player of the game is actually going to be Nick DeLuca from North Dakota State. Just watch out. I just want to go on record.
Okay.
I'm just going to put it out there as my final say. I'm giving offensive defense players the game. That's me from the North because I think the North is going to dominate the South. But the best part is going to be to watch the quarterback because Baker's not going to play. The quarterback against those South DBs, and I want to end on that.
On record right now, what are the odds that you think that Baker Mayfield plays or doesn't play?
30%. I think he plays 30%. Based on normally if Matt Miller's hearing stuff, he's hearing it from the right people. This isn't Benjamin Albright, who will just go on Twitter and say anything to get attention. He's not one of those guys, so I trust his sources. I saw another verified account that was going off that as well. But if he plays, it will be interesting to see him under center. to see if he stays in the pocket. And that's my final word.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much out there for listening. No topics are safe from comments for the Peanut Gallery. I'm your host, Jordan Kurtz, a.k.a. Kurtz EF, signing out.
Mills, yeah, I see. T told me to do this shit. So I'ma do this shit.